today we remember that even in the light of the resurrection, we still have a hard time seeing the truth of Christ's resurrection. Because in our gospel reading for the disciples who are literally walking next to Jesus but don't recognize that it is He. When their eyes are opened, immediately Jesus vanishes from their sight. Those gathered around Peter in our reading from Acts are also unable to recognize both what they have done and what steps they can take now to put their trust in Christ. So we're invited to recognize that there's sort of a two-step process for us to truly see the good news of the resurrection. The first step is to become aware of our own sin and brokenness, our own shortcomings, to see our need for the resurrection. We see this step unfolding in our reading from Acts as Peter lays out in no uncertain terms what the people have done. It says, God attested to Jesus as the Messiah, and yet you crucified him. You destroyed the one who was sent to save the world. A terrible thing. People have to acknowledge that they have made a blunder. Indeed, they're cut to the heart about this. They wonder, how can we address it? This is the way we often are when we finally have our eyes opened to our own sins and shortcomings, to the darkness of this world. We are cut to the heart, and we want to do something to remove what we have done, only to discover that we cannot. I think this is connected also to our reading from 1 Peter today, where we hear that if we invoke as Father the one who judges impartially, we are to live in holy fear. We are to recognize that if we are to be judged impartially, we are in trouble. We have not always done right. We cannot stand before God and say, yep, you can't find a single charge against us. An impartial judge of us would likely condemn us. Which is why we hear about this whole notion of living with a holy, having our eyes open to the realization that we have fallen short, that we have sinned. But of course, once we know this, we've only made it through half of the steps. It's not enough just to know that we have sinned, that we have fallen short, that we have worked against God. We need the second step as well. And our gospel story reveals to us why. The disciples show us exactly what it is to have our eyes opened to the sin and darkness within this world. But not to see the good news of the resurrection. Indeed, what they say to Jesus is very clear. The whole thing that fills their field of vision is that Jesus was crucified. They say, we had hoped that he would have been the one to redeem Israel, but no longer. We even heard from some of the women in our party about the good news of the resurrection, but we could not believe it. All we can see is our own despair, our own darkness. All we can see is how we, as humanity, have fallen short. That the Father should be quite upset with all of us, rendering an impartial judgment against those who would crucify the Son. And we know if we take stock of ourselves earnestly and honestly, we would fit into this same path. Our own sins and shortcomings reveal the truth that we have not done right in this world, but we are cut to the heart. So what we need is this reminder, but we also need something else. We need to see the truth that Jesus would communicate to us. What we need is something to snap us out of only half a perspective and lead us into the right perspective and demonstrate the good news of the resurrection. What we truly need is Jesus to draw near to us and say, "Oh, how foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said." We need Jesus to remind us of God's word, to open that word to us, that we can hear the many and manifold ways God has been at work to address the darkness of this world. God has been at work to address the power of sin and death and to offer healing, salvation, and hope. What we need is Jesus to walk alongside us to help us hear once more about God's promises, to cause our hearts to burn within us. Unfortunately, what we need is Jesus to break bread with us, that our eyes may be open to see the good news that God is near in Christ. And as we see this good news, we begin to realize the truth, the resurrection, that the darkness of this world has been pierced with the light of life. The brokenness of sin has been undone with the wholeness of Christ. This is the good news the disciples experienced in Emmaus. And as they have that good news dawn upon them, they must rush forth with joy to tell others about it. They must go to share this good news. And when they do, they hear that others have heard it too. And we've seen the Lord, and others say, "Yes." And the Lord has appeared to Simon as well. There is good news here. The resurrection is true. The resurrection points us to hear that we have been forgiven and redeemed. The power of death has been destroyed and overthrown. This is what's going on in our reading from Acts as well. Peter must share the good news of the resurrection, and I want others to hear what this good news means for them. This promise is for you and for your children, Peter says. A promise of life and mercy and grace, that yes, you condemned Christ to death, but Christ lives to offer you forgiveness. What must you do? Believe. Be joined to Christ. Be baptized. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will know the truth of what God has done for you. You will know the truth that you have been forgiven and redeemed. Christ. same thing we hear in our second reading as well, that we can trust in the redemption that Christ offers to us. That we have been redeemed from the feudal ways of our ancestors, ransomed not with jewels or gold or silver, but with the most precious blood of Jesus Christ, who offered his life for us. Offers us a new way of living, a new way of being. With this living and enduring Word of God, we recognize the depths and breadths of God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's love. And as we know this love for ourselves, we hear that we are called to celebrate and share that love with others. We are to allow this mutual affection to take hold in our burning hearts, and we may also offer this such love to those around us. This is exactly what Peter is doing today. And yes, there are those gathered here who crucified Christ, but what he wants most for them is to hear the good news of God's love for them. That they are welcomed into community, rooted in Christ. That Peter chooses no longer to see the darkness of sin, but to have his perspective filled with the light and love of God. So we are invited to do today as well, dear brothers and sisters. We are to have our eyes open to Christ coming among us in the breaking of this bread, in the sharing of this wine. We receive Christ's own body and blood. We know the length to which God is willing to go to offer us healing, wholeness, redemption, and mercy. And through this love and grace of God, we know that we can say and endure our hard things. We can have our eyes opened to our sin, our brokenness, and the sin and brokenness of this world. Also knowing the level of God's love and grace that has overcome that brokenness, that has overcome these challenges, and ushered in for us a new life, a new way of being. As we have our eyes opened to these truths, we look again and see the light of God's love shining forth in Christ, and see the redemption, grace, and mercy on display for us and for all of creation, we too must shout out with joy, must run, and share the good news, saying as we go, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.